Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Hi there. Listen, I see all you guys are tuning in. God bless you. Thank you so much. Listen, we're going to have a great show today, this morning, and guess what? You know, you guys are always sending emails, and some of you are sending text messages now, and I'm very proud because you want to hear from Colonel Dr. Reverend William Harrison coming to us from the East Coast. I sure hope it's not snowing there, but you want to hear what he has to say, and I'm happy to announce that he is going to be on the show with us this morning. But now guess what? We have a topic that we're extending, and it is Chaos in the Land, the Solution Part 2. No one seems to have any answers. You know, we're looking at the politicians. We haven't gotten any answers yet to the tide of crime that has engulfed us in the name of chaos. People are saying, well, what's happened with the church? You know, I'm running, sitting up in there, and, you know, they're the talk. They said everything, but ain't nothing happening. So I'm not getting anything there. Most of us who are educators, who have dedicated a portion of our lives to higher education and learning, we're saying, oh, my God. Some of us, like myself, I spent over 20 years in universities, colleges, schools, and I'm saying, oh, my God, what's happening? Ain't nothing coming out of there. You know, we got all the sheepskin on our walls. What is going on? What is the solution to a lot of problems? Educators don't have it. Let's not even talk about doctors and hospitals because you're only going over there when you're not feeling well or something else crazy is actually happening. But what is actually going on? No one seems to have any answers to what we see, mass shootings, mass killings. People can't sit up even on a bus stop and feel that they're going to be safe. I've heard this week of another church killing, people running in the churches now, spraying the churches with guns right there from within. I mean, oh, my God. Something is happening that is bringing all this chaos into the land, and we need to know what the solution is. There's no need of talking about, oh, doctor, you and your co-host, Colonel Harrison, you guys talking every week, but you're not doing anything. Hey, let me tell you, we are actually leading the way. We're giving you answers so that you yourself and your family can help put the solutions into place. Before you're operated on in surgery, the doctors have got to get together and check your body out, check your blood tests out, check all your labs out. They just can't get a scalpel and start cutting. So this is what this show is about. We're calling attention not only to chaos in the land, but every topic that we've had this past year. It has been on equipping you, the listener, to get out and do something about what you see going on. You don't have to be an elected official. You don't have to be someone that's walking around saying, oh, I'm president of this, I'm president of that. You see chaos. You know chaos when you see it. We're offering ideas and ideology for a solution for you, yourself, and you to put into order. And I'm going to add this to it. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. I want you to carry that in your mind as we introduce Colonel Harrison, because as you know, a couple of years ago, he has a book that has come out that addresses chaos and what's going on in the land. I have a copy of it in front of me, and I know he keeps one on his desk at all times. I sure hope you do. But we're here to talk about not only chaos, but those that seem to be engulfed and hell-bent on walking in chaos. And so that's why we're here this morning, to call attention to the book and to give you the excerpts out of the book, and to also hear from Colonel Harrison, who is also a former chief of police there in Capitol Heights, Maryland. After almost 40 years, I'm sure in law enforcement, I sure know he has some answers. Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cappuccino. Thank you so much for the invite again. Good morning to you and the listening audience. I am with you.
Oh, yay. You know what? I feel sad when I don't hear your voice. But, okay, I can see now you come on my dashboard. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. Again, you have a background in law enforcement. You've seen a lot. You've had to take care of a lot of situations that could have gotten out of hand and went the wrong way. and we appreciate you for your service here in America. Now, your book that was written a couple of years ago and also now has a sequel, a second edition. I know people can go on Amazon.com. Give us the title of your book, Colonel Harrison.
The title of the book, Dr. Capitino and audience, is The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land.
Okay, now you've written a book, The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. Now, if you've written that book as an answer, do you see in America, we're not going international right now, in America, do you see that people are looking for an answer? Because things have gotten worse since you've written that book. What seems to be the problem that there's a book out there, I've read it myself more than once, oh my God, it's fear-inspiring. Do you think your book is timely right now? And if it's timely right now, what can we do to get our hands on a copy of your book?
Yes, Dr. Capitino, the book is timely. 2 years ago, as you stated, the book was written, and I had a revelation to write such a book based on my 38 years of former law enforcement experience, and I followed the revelation. The book is very, very important because what's going on now, it covers the thing. It goes back to the earlier civil unrest and chaos back during the 60s, and it comes forward to present day. And again, the title of the book is The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. And we are in a state of civil unrest, meaning civilian people being uncomfortable, not satisfied, and feeling very insecure about things that are going on in the land. And that causes tension in the country. So I'll pause.
Well, you know, it causes tension in the land, sure enough, but there's people that are saying that the black race is responsible for a lot of tension, a lot of mayhem, and a lot of misunderstandings between other races. Studies are stating, university studies are stating that the black man is at the root of all the trouble in America. Can we actually really say something like that and then have people believe that?
I don't believe that. Even though a university might have said that, I don't believe they can quantify that. So how is it that the population of Afro-Americans, about 13% in the United States, that is probably the least population, could be responsible for the majority of the crime and the violence and the unrest? From a common sense point of view, I think that's ludicrous. At 38 years of law enforcement, it requires a lot of statistics to be gathered, a lot of sampling. There's good and bad in every race in this country and throughout the world. Our real problem is that we are divided, this country that is, divided along racial lines because of a social status, the have and the have-nots, and I'll pause.
Well, let me ask you this, because what you just said just rung a bell. How is it that the black man has even gotten that type of reputation? You've been in law enforcement, and I think you have told me before that Capitol Heights, Maryland, you know, there's a lot of blacks there, and as a police officer, then chief of police, you had to talk to your officers about going out there and how to deal with African Americans. How is it that the black man, the African American, has gotten this type of reputation in the first place, according to what you've seen and what you've experienced in your law enforcement career? How did the black man get this reputation?
The black man inherited this reputation predating this country's history, going back to the early 1600s when Christopher Columbus, landed at a point in Virginia or either Massachusetts, back, I think, 1492, back in 14th century, and brought a group of slaves over on a ship. And so the black man and thus the woman and the children have been in bondage up until 1860 or 62, when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed that freed those who were held as slaves in this country. And so from that era, when the Africans were released and became free, the stigma was placed on them at that time, and the perception is still that they're in bondage and enslaved. And so that's how that has evolved from that point to this point. And so it's an unjust stigma that has been placed on the black race that's so unfair and very unwell-founded.
Yeah, you know what? I go along with that because here, let's kind of dip back into a comment you just made about the African Americans coming over to America. They came with a purpose of a promise. They came because America had to be built. They came because there was nothing here but wilderness. But the early settlers, the founders said, you know what? America is fertile. It's bordered by both oceans, Pacific and the Atlantic. This is a fertile, fertile country. We're going to stay here. We're not turning our ships around going back to Great Britain and England. We are going to stay here, and these black folk, these Africans, these slaves, we can't get our hands dirty. We're getting these slaves, which some of these slave masters were actually black as well. Some that sold the slaves in, they were black from their tribe. They were going around hunting in the jungles for people to capture to put on some of these so-called slave ships. So you know what? The pendulum swings on both sides. But once they got over on the American shores and our black people, us African Americans, start building up New York and some of the 13 colonies, they didn't get them back. They let them stay here in America and assimilate, which, in my opinion, was a very wrong thing to do. If you got these slaves over here to work, kill, toil the land, once that was done, perhaps they should have been put back on the ships to go back to where they were captured or where they came from. That didn't happen. There was a market in these people working for free and not having to pay them. So they let them assimilate into their households. They stayed on their plantations. They built gardens. They planted crops. They did everything. And if you really look across America, there are some reports that black slaves also had a hand in building the White House. So that free labor, what's now called free enterprise labor, that still was very valuable even in the founding of America. It might not be written down in history books, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this thing out. Once they did their job, they were stuck here, and they had to eke it out on their own. But remember, they were still known as slaves in the minds of some of the white landowners, plantation owners, you know, the elite of the white. I'm not trying to throw shade on anyone, and I'm not trying to blame anyone, but once a slave, always a slave in the minds of some. And they were put asunder and they were sent to various states just to really repopulate and settle there. So now we have a problem. So your book, The Answer to Civil Unrest, that unrest never was put asunder. People were still saying, you know, they're prejudiced. I can't eat in a restaurant. I can't drink out of fountains. Here's some colored fountains. Even in our lifetime, I can't sit in a restaurant because I'm black. We don't serve colored folk. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my goodness, goddamn. it's the colored folks that help build everything. You weren't going to get your hands dirty. So now, fast forward from the time you said the early 1860s, when Lincoln said, you know what? They have done their job. They're human like us. They're standing on 2 feet. So guess what? I'm going to free the slaves. Now, some did not come off the plantation. There's a lot of black folks that say, you know what, I hear what he said, but I'm not going to leave Mazda Jones. I'm not going to leave Mazda Buchanan. Yeah, 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 yeah. They said, where were they going? Walking with a broom handle with some clothes on the end of it, coming out of nowhere like Moses leading him out of Egypt. Where were they going when he set them free? Many died along in those forests on the land. Where were they going? Not a dime in their pocket. So we got a problem now. They made their own townships. They settled in them. But the civil unrest never ended. And I'm quoting from your book. I want all of you to go to Amazon.com and get a copy of Colonel Harris's book, The Answer to Civil Unrest. What I just said, it's in the book. I'm not going to tell you where. I want you to read the whole book. 1995, get a copy. The second edition is there. And in January 2020, he's going to have a third edition, which is going to talk about how blacks in our union in America can come together even on a stronger point through the International Platform for Peace, which Colonel Harrison sits at the very top as the Minister of Operations. It's going to be jam-packed. But, hey, don't take my word for it. Don't wait until January 2020 for the third edition to come out. Get a copy of the book now, because if you're running around blaming a white man, you really need to read that book. If you're running around blaming Trump, you really need to read that book. If you're saying Obama started it all, because people are saying Trump just been in office 2 or 3 years, all this trouble started way before he got into office. But if you want to blame anyone, Colonel Harrison now is going to talk about who really is at the root of all the civil unrest, not just in America, but worldwide, because there's an epistle and there's a writer that says the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one, not just Trump, not just the Republican Party, not just the leftist Democrats, not the cowardly independents, as some say. I didn't say it. I'm quoting that. There is another force that is at work pulling puppet-like strings over the entire universe, the whole world, not just America, not just Rome, because that epistle was a written that. Okay, so, Colonel, you're a minister, and I know you know where I'm going with this. A lot of people don't believe in powerful forces. They don't believe in a lot of crazy things going on in the world, started by an unseen spirit, but there's a police force in Alabama that came under fire a few months ago for saying that there's got to be a satanic power over our land because we have never seen some of the crimes committed. Those cops were saying they were finding people beheaded with their hands and feet cut off. They were also saying that a lot of the victims they found were overkill, stabbed 70 times, shot over 100 times. I mean, all this crazy stuff and things that they said in their lifetime as cops they've never seen. So they're saying it's got to be something else that we're not looking at that is causing the problem. Talk to us about that.
Yes, Doc, there's as a minister, there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, some call Jehovah, Allah, God, supreme being, and there's the kingdom of Satan, which is a satanic kingdom. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. He's the prince of the world. Jesus' kingdom or God's kingdom is the kingdom of light, and he is the God of the universe that has created everything. So there's a war that is going on, and if one was to reference Ephesians chapter 6 in the Bible, they will find that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and powers of darkness in higher places, spiritual beings that are at war and seducing human beings that have weak resistance to come aboard and join Satan as a follower. And as a result, doing these evil things, these damnable things, the crime, the violence, the murders, and all of that is perpetrated by Satan, the dark spirit of this world, the dark spirit of this universe. And so it's great that I have come to understand the power of the prince of darkness, and others have come to understand it, and I've come to understand it through research, through studying, through life experiences, and I knew that there had to be a root cause to the chaos that is occurring. So Satan is known as the prince of evil and the prince of darkness, and God is known as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and King of Light. So there's a power, and we have to get to know which is the power that we want to align ourselves with, and that will determine our eternal destiny. And I'll pause.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. You know, just the hearing and listening to you sent chills on my spine. Well, look,
I don't know what's going on back there right now, East, as far as religion and people going in and out of churches and, you know, upholding the esteem of their pastors. Midwest is reported, which is really was known as a Bible Belt, that there's a 10 to 15 sitting up in churches every week. There's people coming in the churches, they're shooting and killing each other. There's a lot of homosexuality now in the churches. I mean, there's so many things going on that people, let's say even 25 years ago, would find offensive and would say that is not of God. But we see the churches are still carrying on just in the name of not just shutting the doors, going on, go ye therefore, going on with the go ye therefore philosophy. They're just clinging to what they say is a church on life support. Some are saying they've already covered up, but the church is still breathing. That's the problem. So I would imagine if we're talking about, you know, these two warring gods, you said Satan and you said God, you know, I don't know what they're really doing up above my head and below my feet, but I will look out at the world and say, something truly is going on that's not right. How can we talk to people and encourage them to still cling on and hang on to religion as we know it, as a force for good, as a force for helping others? I mean, most churches here on the West Coast, they are selling barbecue dinners, but they're selling used clothes out of the churches. They done turned into feeding stalls. Jesus said you're always going to have the poor with you, so leave them alone. Just follow me, preach and teach. What I say, what I do, you do. But we see now that I don't think legalistically or spiritually we can tell people, well, go in the church, everything's going to be all right. Go in the church, you ain't going to have a feeling of killing anybody. Go on in the church. Your family's going to straighten out. I don't think we can do that now because the voice of the pastors, or whatever they call themselves today, they have diluted themselves. There's only a few people that I even hear about that is really teaching the undiluted, unadulterated word of God where it's really doing any good. They're attacking Joel Osteen. They're attacking him. They're going after T.D. Jakes. They've already tried to bring Dr. Paula White down. I could just go on down the list. A lot of people are not really listening to these people. They're calling them false shepherds. It used to be those on the outside selling some of these wares, as they called them, and devilish potions. The rap sheet used to be on them. Now it is not. It is on people that are standing up there in the churches that are making these crazy decisions, leading what few they have into the gates or through the gates of hell. What can we say? Can we legally, as spiritually, as men and women of God, tell people going to the church is going to be all right? Is that true? Do we see that as being true?
I still see it as being true, Doc. I believe I'm involved after 38 years as a police officer and now almost 20 years as a minister and a pastor in the nation's capital, right in the heart of a so-called quote-unquote ghetto area, public housing area. That's where Second Union Baptist Church is located, ministering to people that have need. There's a need for the churches were initially founded so that it would be a resource for people who live in a community. When I grew up, people could come to the church, get clothes, they can get milk, they can get staple goods, bread and cheese and the like to sustain them. And so the church was the centerpiece of the heart of the community. The church was never meant for a pastor to become rich or wealthy, for lack of a better term, but to see that the resources the church has, the monies, real monies that they take in, is recycled throughout the community, help the seniors with prescriptions and others that need food and other resources to tie them over, and women with children and their husband there. So the church was supposed to have been the foundation to also lead people to God and let them know that their life is is worth living. It's not in vain, but it has become so mechanized now, but the majority of the pastors still are staying the course. The church still is supposed to be the grassroots anchor for people in the community so they could have hope. And that's what the church offers, hope and salvation. And I'll pause.
It offers that, but can they give it? Now, you just said a word that I've been following on other religious sites. They can offer that, but can they do it, and are they doing it? If we look out at the world, we can't answer that and say, yeah, they can. They can offer it, but do they actually have the capacity to follow through on what they offer? If you look around, especially around here on the West Coast and, like I said, Midwest Bible Belt, and I had an experience to go across America not too long ago, and all along the coastline, through the Bible Belt, churches were boarded up. I saw them, my own eyes. I didn't have to read this. I got a phone call about it. Someone just called me on the phone now while you were talking there, listening in, and they have a question about something you said. But I want to say this. They can offer that. They're supposed to offer that. But when Jesus walked, and I'm only talking about him because we're both Christians, he didn't tell them to go to the synagogue and get something to eat. He didn't send them into the temple to get some water to drink. He was strictly preaching and teaching the word of God. And some people say when our West Coast churches start giving them clothes and tell them to come get some barbecue dinner and come over here and eat this and come get a bag of free food, come in here and get you some free medicine, we lost them. People can get that from the social aspects of a city. All cities got to offer that. All cities got to take care of their downtrodden. The church was never put into operation. 100 years ago, and I was just talking with somebody about the history of the church from the 4th century when the Roman Catholic Church sprung up here in America, pulling strings from Rome. The church never was set up for that. The church was set up for one purpose only, and that was to help people rebuild a spiritual life, and he said, follow me. He said, as I followed, I came from the Father, you follow me. It never was set up for that. And when you start having people hanging around churches for something to eat and something to drink, you have lost the spiritual aspect. Jesus wasn't interested in the physical aspect of man. He said, let the dead bury the dead. He said, but I must follow the Father who is in heaven. So I think that's where we have lost people. This is a good show this morning. They have lost people doing that. The itinerant on the corner with the Bible saying you must be saved. He didn't say you must be saved to eat. He didn't say you must be saved to get something to drink. He didn't say you must be saved to find out where you're going to lay your head down. Follow me. That was the clue. And many people from the pastors on down, they're not doing that. They figured out a way how to go on and tell them to come on, big banners on the church, food served here. Food. There's no soup kitchen. No soup kitchen. The house of God was not put in operation to be a soup kitchen. And I think we have lost it because once they get their belly full, they walk off. They don't come sit up in there on a Sunday. They're not really interested in nothing spiritual because they got a physical man filled. He won't go on off and do what he was doing before he got hungry. How did he get in that shape? Not following God. How did he lose everything he had? Not following God. The Bible says, you work for God, God's going to pay. So rather than just give them a bowl of soup and you don't know where they're coming from, no. Figure out how they got in that shape. They got in it because they were not spiritually fed first. Feed them spiritually first. If they starved to death on the church step, you done did what God said. You done spiritually fed them. Pastor, you have a church that is on the move now for God. And I don't know if people want to fly in to Second Union Baptist to hear you. They can hear you here every week. In closing, we're going to talk a little bit about your book next week. But if anyone wants to advertise, just send your information, contact info to mothernature7@gmail.com. We have 30-second slots and also 60. Send us an email, and you can be either presented as a guest. But thank you so much, Colonel Dr. Reverend William Harrison. We love you out here on the West Coast, and we do expect to hear from you again. This is a Dr. Cupertino show. My name is Marcia. It's spelled M-A-R, but my dad called me Ma. My name is Marcia Cupertino. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. And listen, God is counting on you to spread the word. See you next week on the Dr. Cupertino show. Same time, same place. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Thank you again, Dr. Harrison. Thank you.